शेदेवान् सद्रं अनन्तशतस्तत् अङ्के यन्नाभिसिन्धुरुरकाञ्चनपद्मलोकान् भगवते प्रणतोऽस्मि तस्मै कल्पान्तयेतदखिलं जतरेण गृहान् ये देवमान् सदृकान्तशकस्तदङ्के यन्नाभिसिन्धुरुः काञ्चलोकपद्मा गर्भेदमान् भगवते प्रणतोऽस्मि तस्मै
कल्पन्ते
कल्पन्ते
at the end of the millennium
at the end of the millennium
This universe.
Akila.
All.
Jatarena.
Within the belly.
Vigran.
Withdrawing.
Shete.
Lies down.
Uman.
Supreme person.
Swadrik.
Looking upon himself.
Ananta.
The unlimited Shesha.
Saka.
Accompanied by. Taranke.
Tatanke.
On his lap.
Yeah.
From whose.
Navi.
Naval.
Sindhu.
Potion.
Ruha.
Sprouted.
Kanchana.
Golden.
Loka.
Planet.
Padma.
Lotus.
Garbe.
On the world.
Duman.
Lord Brahma.
Bhagavate.
Under the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Under the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Ananta. Offering obeisances.
Asmi.
I am.
Tasmai.
Unto him. Translation, my dear Lord, at the end of each millennium, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, dissolves everything manifested within the universe into his belly. He lies down on the lap of Sheshanaga. From his navel sprouts a golden lotus flower on the stem, and on that lotus, Lord Brahma is created. I can understand you are the same Supreme Godhead. And therefore offer my obeisances unto you. Purport to Guru Maharaj's understanding of the Supreme Personality of God is complete and Vedas as it says, Yasmin Vigate Savane Vam Vigitam Bhavati. Knowledge receives through the transcendental causes and receives the Lord is so perfect that by that knowledge a devotee becomes acquainted with all manifestations of the Lord. Lord Shirodakshaya Vishnu was present before Dhruva Maharaj, who could also understand the Lord's two other forms, meaning Garbhodakshaya Vishnu and Karodakshaya Vishnu. Regarding Mahavishnu, it is stated in the Brahma Samhita, recited in this specific column, Mahavalokya, Jivanti Loma Vilaja, Vidandanaha, Vishnu Vahansa, Yajasya Kala, Vishesho, Vidamai Purushantavanam Bajami. At the end of each and every millennium, when all the material worlds are dissolved, everything enters the body of Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, who was lying on the lap of Sheshanaga, another form of the Lord. Those who are not devotees cannot understand the different forms of Vishnu and their positions in regard to the creation. Sometimes they disargue, how can a flower stem sprout from the navel of Garbhodakshaya Vishnu? They consider all the statements of the Shastras to be stories. As a result of their inexperience, the absolute truth and reluctance to accept authority, they become more and more atheistic. They cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But a devotee like Dhruva Maharaj, by the grace of the Lord, knows all the manifestations of the Lord in their different positions. It is said that anyone who has even a little of the Lord's grace can understand his glories. Others may go on speculating on the absolute truth, but they will always be unable to understand the Lord. In other words, unless one comes in contact with a devotee, it is not possible to understand the transcendental form or the spiritual world and its transcendental activities. My dear Lord, at the end of each millennium, the Supreme Personality of God, Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, dissolves everything manifest. Within the universe, into his belly, he lies down in the lap of Sheshanaga. from his navel sprouts the golden lotus flower on his stem, and on that lotus Lord Brahma is created. I can understand that you are the same Supreme Godhead. I therefore offer my respectful obeisances unto you. So here, Dhruva offers his obeisances to the Supreme Lord in the form of a Vishnu form, who sprouts the lotus from his navel. So that form we call Garbhadaksha, Vishnu. The lotus sprouts from his navel, and then Brahma appears, and then Brahma creates the universes and the bodies of the living energies. So this is the form of Vishnu who lies on the Garbhodak ocean, below the Bhumandala. And this is one form of the Lord. And we also know there's another form of the Lord called Karandakshaya Vishnu, who also lies on the ocean, but it's the Karna ocean, not the Garbha ocean. So the Garbhadaka ocean is within the universe, and the Karna ocean is outside the universe. And the Karna ocean contains all of the universes. In other words, the most inclusive form is Karandakshaya Vishnu or Mahavishnu. And his expansion is Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, who is in each universe. And he carries out the maintenance of the material world. And then we see there's another form called Shirodakshaya Vishnu, who also exists within the universe. And his special function is he expands into all the jivas in the material world. So in this way we have the Supreme Lord pervading matter on different levels and pervading the universe on different levels. So he pervades all of property in the form of Mahavishnu. Then he pervades each universe as Garbhadakshaya Vishnu. He enters into it. And then he pervades all the bodies and jivas in the universe as Shirodakshaya Vishnu. But there's also one Lord. They are not different persons in one sense. They're all the same Lord. But the Lord has infinite capacity to expand himself. And these forms also must be eternal, because all the forms of the Lord are eternal. So one is more or less equal to the other. And then we have the forms of the Lord who appear within the material world as avatar forms. Different Vishnu forms and other forms like Kapila or Dandvantari, etc. So they also are forms of the Supreme Lord, but they seem to have different identities and different functions. So in this way the Lord expands himself in different ways. So the three who are responsible for manifestation, maintenance, and destruction of the material world, they are called the Purusha avatars. And because they're related to the creation and destruction of the material world, they show great powers. So therefore, they are commonly associated with the form of God as the creator of the universe. And they're all called Paramatma, because they are functioning in relation to the material world. So this particular verse deals with the second form, that is the form who resides within the universe and creates the Lord Brahma, manifests Lord Brahma, who does the secondary creation. Here it describes that everything rests within him at the end of the Kalpa, which will indicate the end of the day of Brahma. So at the end of the day of Brahma there's a night. And then everything, or most of the world, dissolves. It is said that the lower systems particularly dissolve, are flooded over with water, and then there's a fire, etc. So in this way, the material world disappears for some time, and all the living entities merge into the form of Garbhadakshaya Vishnu. And then when morning comes, then everyone comes out again, the jivas come out, and
Brahma appears and he recreates the material world, etc. So in this way the creation goes on. Brahma Samhita also describes the forms of the Lord as quoted here. It talks about the form of the Lord who has all of the universes in the pores of his skin. So usually we take that as the Karnadaksha Vishnu form, or Mahavishnu, who has the forms within his body. But we can equally say that in one sense that it also refers to the Garbhadaksha Vishnu form, who holds at least the living entities within the material world, within his body also. So in any case, we understand that the Supreme Lord is the master of everything in existence that we know of in the material world. The bodies, and the matter, the universes, etc., are all under the Supreme Lord in some form or other. And that form will take the form of Garbhadaksha Vishnu, Karnadaksha Vishnu, or Kshiradaksha Vishnu, according to its function. So all of them are spiritual forms, but they're related to the material world. So how is it possible that God can touch the material world without becoming contaminated? So this is the special nature of the Supreme Lord. Even though he can enter into the material world, or he can contain the material world, everything can be within him. As Mahavishnu, all the jivas enter into him, but he never doesn't become contaminated by them. And we see here that the universes are in the pores of Mahavishnu, but still, he does not become contaminated. And similarly, Garbhadakshaya Vishnu enters into the universe, but he doesn't get contaminated by it. And Kshiradaksha Vishnu enters into all the jivas and doesn't become contaminated by them. So the Lord can pervade everything without touching it. And he can contain everything without being contaminated or influenced by it. This is completely different from our material existence. If we eat food, it goes inside us, and if it's sattvic food, we get sattvic, and if it's tamasic, we're tamasic. And not so the Supreme Lord. He has all the jivas with all the karmas, and they still have the karmas. Still, nothing affects the Lord. And at the same time, he enters into everything. He pervades everything. He goes everywhere and is unaffected. Whereas jivas, they are affected by everything. So they contact sattva guna in the material world, they are affected. And they contact tamo guna, they are affected. So the Supreme Lord, he goes everywhere in the material world also, but is not affected by anything. So in this way, the Lord can pervade and enter into everything and contain everything and still be separate. So that is why in Bhagavad Gita, in chapter 9, Krishna says, I'm in everything, outside of everything, and I'm not influenced by anything. So this is the inconceivable power of the Lord that is not available to anyone else. So why he does this, why he is inside and outside? Because he is the final controller of everything. He's the Supreme Lord. So he's the controller of, manifester of matter and universes. He's in charge of the karmas of the jivas, etc. So only for that purpose he has to do that. And so somehow or other, he knows everything about everything, and he has complete power over everything. So everything operates by his will. But that is the actual nature of the description of these different Vishnu forms. By these forms, he exerts his will for manifesting, destroying, maintaining the universe of all the jivas.
Karnadaksha Vishnu
Spiritual world is there, and Prakriti is there, and we have this Karna ocean in between, more or less. But we cannot quite make it like an in-between in this way, because it's a very, that material thing is very small, so it's more like a little island. Material energy, and the Karna ocean there is like a little island compared to these big things. So we have the spiritual world, we have the Karna ocean, and there we got Prakriti in the middle somewhere, a little spot there. It's surrounded in three dimensions by spiritual world, or more dimensions than that, by the spiritual world. It is said to be, yes, because, well, at least it's not one of the material elements as we see. It's not earth, water, fire, ether, mind, it's none of those. So it's some sort of spiritual substance. It's not really described what it is, but it's not material. But nevertheless, when Vamana, with his foot, breaks through that thing, and then the Karna ocean comes through, it turns into the Ganga. It becomes the Ganga water.
Yeah.
No, he enters into all the jivas. It's Paramatma. He sleeps on the milk ocean. But in the Paramatma Sandarbha, Yuga Goswami calls them all Paramatma. Yeah, Garbhodaka Ocean is the, on the bottom of the universe is the Garbhodaka Ocean, and above that is the Bhumandala and all the planet Earth. Well, Chiradaksha Vishnu doesn't have to do anything. He can remain because he's spiritual. In other words, this is dealing with the material entities and their sleep, more or less, and the night of Brahma. So, Chiradaksha Vishnu has nothing to do with that. Right? Even though many of the planetary systems are gone, we could say that his area is actually spiritual. But it's not really mentioned what happens to him at that time. He can, if he wants, to become a prakat and then appear again. But his form is eternal. During the night. And they come out in the morning.
Jai.